You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a vibrant spiritual community committed to individual and collective awakening through sacred teachings and practices, one God, one heart, many paths. Now, Reverend Clive Delaporte.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You holy, holy people. Let's join together with an opening prayer. Divine Father, Divine Mother, light and love of the Christ consciousness, we come together today to honor and recognize each soul here as a living expression of God's presence and power in the world. We open our hearts to the divine Christ and the holy, holy way of oneness with that presence and power. We are in gratitude and thanksgiving this month as we eliminate all that separates us from God and embrace everything that brings us into a greater awareness that we are one. We are unity. We are together. We are in Christ. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Today our message is letting God be God. Let God be God. We are at the first Sunday of the month of November, and the power for the month of November is
elimination.
I want to give a shout out to those of you that have taken the time and effort to be wearing russet, which apparently is not a potato, it's a color. For the guys, that would be brown. Something brownish. The power of elimination is our ability, our divine faculty, our divine ability and power to deny error, to renounce it, to release it, to let go, and let God be God in our lives. The message affirmation for today is divine faculty of elimination enables and empowers me to let go and let God be God in my life. This little booklet that we're producing now every month will have everything in it that you need to guide you through all the spiritual teachings every Sunday. There'll be a page that outlines the message in advance, and then a page that'll be a worksheet for you to take that message into your life for that day. It'll also have other contributions and articles about the spiritual theme and topic for each month of the year. So we encourage you to support the booklet by buying one in the bookstore. And also we want to give a shout out to our booklet sponsors. Every month there are people that step up and make a contribution to cover the cost of printing these booklets. You might not know this, and it might not have any relevance to you, but on Saturday morning at about 4 a.m. Pacific time, South Africa won the Rugby World Cup. For the third time, equaling the record of New Zealand, who have also won it three times since its inauguration in 1985. South Africa has, though, the prestigious achievement of having won the World Cup final every time they've played in it. Quite an achievement. Has anybody ever watched a rugby game? Imagine American football on steroids without the helmets and the padding. Yes. Yes, and too many rules. And I played it in high school, which will explain a lot of the idiosyncrasies that I have. Yes, wear your helmet, people. In 1995, I attended the World Rugby World Cup final in Cape Town, South Africa. It was the first time that South Africa had won the final, and it became known as the Nelson Mandela victory. It was the game that Nelson Mandela attended as our new president, the first president elected in the post-apartheid, fully democratic South Africa. And it was a blessing for me to be there. He was on the field, and of course, he set the stage for that victory for the South African team. It became known as the Nelson Mandela victory. Saturday was another high water mark for South Africa, because the victory of the team known as the Springboks was led for the first time, captained for the first time by an African rugby player. In South Africa back then, we had this strange anomaly. White people played rugby, Africans played soccer. And so in this time, over the last 22 odd years, these nationalities have merged and integrated, and sport has been such an indicator of this integration in the South African society. And for that, I am blessed. And the World Cup final on Saturday was an indication of that. Some of you might not know this, but Nelson Mandela spent 28 years in prison. 28 years on a place called Robben Island, convicted for terrorist activity in the endeavor of reducing or removing apartheid from the South African society. The man that came out of prison after 28 years to become the first fully democratic elected president of South Africa was not the man that went into prison 28 years before. Nelson Mandela himself, in his book, A Walk to Freedom, documents the transformation and the transition he went through from being an anti-apartheid advocate and activist and then terrorist to being a saint and a statesman that led South Africa out of a very dark part of their history. Whenever I think of the Nelson Mandela story, I am reminded of the power of elimination and the ability that each one of us has, the divine faculty and power we have to release that which is past, to deny and renounce that which is wrong and that which is error, and to liberate ourselves to embrace that which is true and which is right and which is good. Oscar Wilde once said, and I think this applies to the power of elimination and to the Nelson Mandela story very aptly. Oscar Wilde once said, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Yes? Oscar Wilde also. What's happening here? Oscar Wilde was also the person, reportedly, urban legend, don't fact check this, on his deathbed in a Paris apartment, while floating in and out of consciousness just before his transition, suddenly woke up and looked at the room he was in and said that the wallpaper was quite easily the worst he'd ever seen, and that one of us would have to go. God grant that I transition with such grace one day. Nelson Mandela has been a mentor to me in my life. I have had the privilege of meeting him just once, very briefly, and being in the same room as him when he was released and elected to president of South Africa. There was an effort in Cape Town to try and get the Olympic Games to South Africa and Africa for the very first time. And an Olympic steering committee was formed to try to endeavor to do that. And I was a volunteer on that team, and Nelson Mandela came in one day to give us a pep talk about how this could be such a powerful thing for South Africa and the African continent. At that time, Africa had never had or hosted the Olympic Games. We were unsuccessful, but it was a life-changing experience for me just to be in the same room as that human being for about 20 or 25 minutes. The power of transition is one of those powers in our 12 powers that we don't often pay a lot of attention to. Most of us practice affirmations, don't we? We are constantly aligning what we're thinking and feeling with what is true and right and good. But the other side of that coin is the power of elimination, the power of denial, the power of removing those things from our consciousness that are taking up space that no longer serve our highest good. Yes? And so as we clear space from our consciousness, we're creating sacred space for truth to come in, for truth to take its place, for truth to take root within us. Because we know in unity that it is first the truth in the heart that brings the harvest of good in the life, right? It's a within, without, as within, so without process. Is it process or process? Is it brown or russet? It's a outside in, it's an inside-out experience that we're endeavoring to do. Denial, release, elimination helps us prepare the soil of our heart for the good that desires us and wants to be sown so that it can sprout and grow and come into harvest in our lives. We prepare our soil by practicing the power of elimination. One of the first things that elimination does for us is helps us remove the sense of separation. This idea that we are separate from God, that God exists somewhere apart from us, that it is not the innate essence of who and what we are. Once we practice elimination to that aspect, we release that sense of separation and we come more fully into the awareness and knowing of oneness. And that oneness with God begins first with God and then ourselves and then with each other. And we start to see mystically the connected energy field of life itself. The idea of separation is removed from us and no longer is the source of our doubt and our fear, our sense of scarcity, our sense of scaredness. Rumi said, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built up against it." Elimination is the power to remove barriers that separate us from all that is divine and all that is good. Illumination is also the power that allows us to step out of our past and into our present. You know why they call it the present? It's a gift. The choir. Not only do they sing, they ESPN as well. There is no future in your past. Right? There is no future in your past. Did you know there's also no future in your future? There's no future in your past. There's no future in your future. There is only the present. If you want to change anything about the past or anything about the future, where do you do it? In the present. The present is this eternal, infinite possibility and potential of what I call the divine now. Everything that can be, is, and will be is happening now. The work that we need to do in illuminating and releasing, and the work that we need to do in affirming and activating and enlivening, we do it now. In the divine now. There is no past. There is no future in your past. There's no future in your future. It is all happening in the now. Daphne Rose Kingman said, holding on is believing that there's only a past. Letting go is knowing that there's also a future. Illumination allows us to let go of those things that bind us, that hold us captive, that keep us confined and contained into the limitations of things past, sets us free, liberates us in the present, so that with a vision and a hope and a faith in what is next, we can prepare ourselves and our lives for our future. The Apostle John in his gospel says, so, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And the Apostle Paul picks up that idea and he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. What does it mean to be in Christ? If you do a search of the human scriptures, the New Testament, you'll find that the Apostle Paul uses this phrase over 100 times. What does it mean to be in Christ? It means to be in Christ consciousness, to be in a higher state of awareness, to be in a place in mind and heart where you are in oneness with the divine, with the sacred, with the higher self. That you see within yourself the image and likeness of God, and you see within yourself the potential and possibility of the kingdom of heaven. The faculty of illumination empowers us and enables us to transition and to transform in our Christ consciousness, to move away from what is past, to transform in the present, and to prepare the soil for the harvest of good in the future. And of course, the right way to do this is with anxiety. with stress, with cutting off the arm that offends you, for attacking each other, right? No. No, the way to do this, the way to do elimination is taught to us by Charles Fillmore. Love and tenderness, courage and fearlessness are the dominant characteristics that are the foundation of proper elimination. Love puts away fear and is a softening, releasing, freeing, and balancing force in our spiritual experience. And so when we are ready to release things in our lives, when we are ready to move on from what is past, to become more fully present in the preparation of a better future, it is love that guides us in that process. It is love that makes us tender-hearted in our releasing. It is love that makes us gentle in our releasing and in our receiving of what is past, what is present, and what is next. And when is the time to do this? Yeah. Right now. And I've got such good news for you. But it's all in the booklet. The good news is this. God is ready for you. God is ready. God is willing. God is able to let you, let God be God in your life. God has all the power. God has all the possibility to do the work that God wants to do. And when you are fully present in the divine now, you will realize this one thing that is a powerful realization. What you are ready to release is ready to release you. Yes? What you are ready to receive is ready to receive you. Because you have found yourself in the gift, in the present of divine presence where the eternal and the infinite exist in time and space. And everything is ready for you if you are willing and able. And in letting God be God in our lives, we claim our willingness. And we claim our ability. And we claim the knowing and the assurance that we are in the loving embrace of the divine, ready, willing, and able to explore and experience more fully our divine good. And so in closing today, my prayer for each one of us is that we will rediscover the will of God. And the way and the of knowing of letting God be God in us and letting God be God through us. And in the words of the Apostle Paul, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which lie ahead, we press on to the goal and the prize and the call of Christ in us and in our lives. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.